Open your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, She is my sister. For he feared to say, She is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out a window, and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac, and said, Behold, of a surety she is thy wife. And how saidst thou, She is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, Because I said, Lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, What is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lied with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in that land, and received the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great, and went forward, and grew, till he became very great, for he had possession of flocks, and possession of herds, and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. They digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitnah, and he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth, and he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thee for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Azuzat, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, Let there now be an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning, and sware one to another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, We have found water. And he called it Shevah. Therefore, the name of the city is Be'er Shevah unto this day. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Be'eri the Hittite, and Bashemat, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Okay, so you've seen this scenario now. This is the third time we have seen it. Twice from Abraham and now once from Isaac. Once in Egypt, once in Gerar, and now Isaac in Gerar again follows in the footsteps of Abraham, his father, not the best example that Abraham ever set. Shall we say it that way? Notice that in this first section, verses 1 through 6, the Lord appears unto Isaac and speaks to him in those covenantal and promising terms. I am with you because I was with your father. Your father kept my statutes, laws, commandments, and judgments. By the way, never let anyone tell you that the law did not exist before Sinai. Abraham kept the law, statutes, commandments, and judgments of God. Those are the same kinds of terms that we find in Psalm 119, right? So let us never say that the law did not exist before Sinai. Of course it did. It has been with mankind since he was created. It is written upon his heart as a part of his being created in the image of God. Notice also then that the Lord appears to Isaac and comforts him with those covenanting words. And yet Isaac leaves from that conversation, goes into Gerar. Notice that he must be warned not to go to Egypt. Remember where Abraham went first? Egypt. Isaac is following the footsteps. It is the intention of Moses, as one commentator says, to maximize what is similar between them, even if it's not the best of things, right? And to minimize what is different between them. So that we might understand as readers that God is with Isaac like he was with Abraham. It's not a recapitulation. It's not simply an editorial mistake, as some have said, sinfully. Notice how the chapter begins. There was a famine in the land, but not the same famine that was in the days of Abraham. The editor, the writer, the author of this narrative, Moses, is acutely aware that this criticism will come, and he heads it off at the pass. No, this isn't just simply a legendary recapitulation. This is a new famine in the days of Isaac. Not the same famine that took place in the days of Abraham. And so this is why Isaac was driven out of the land of promise into Gerar, into the land of the Philistines. So we have then those very realistic, very historical underpinnings of this narrative. It is not a legendary recapitulation. All right, so then we have that covenantal promise, and then we move to the interaction between Isaac, Rebekah, and the Philistines. And so we have this, this not faithful, but fearful procedure on behalf of Isaac. As Abraham, his father, before him. And so, say you're my sister. She does. Notice that they are there a long time. I don't know how long a long time is. Doesn't really say. But it seems that they are living, they are still living together because it's, you know, brother and sister, and no one would have any suspicion of them at that point. And yet, then, Abimelech is looking out over his lattice one day, and he sees Isaac sporting with his wife. How quaint, the King James says sporting. The term that is used here is, are you ready for this? This, hopefully will interest you. It certainly interested me. I guess when I'm interested in something, I want someone else to be interested in it too, so that you know, I don't feel so weird, because I feel weird often enough. The word for Isaac, his name is, remember, Hazak. That's the root of it, Hazak. And Yitzhak is a derivative of the word to laugh or to play or to sport. That's right. Isaac was Isaacing with Rebecca. That's what the narrative says. It's the same. Yitzhak was Huzaking with his wife Rebecca. They were doing something that made them both very happy. They were being very affectionate with one another. And they were laughing and giggling the whole way through. They were enjoying being affectionate with one another. And why wouldn't they? Because public, you know, PDAs for them were a non-issue. Right? You're my sister when we're in public. Remember that. Well, so they got to a place that was maybe semi-public, and they were sporting. They were huzzaking with one another, and Abimelech saw. Now, commentators are divided as to whether or not this Abimelech is the same Abimelech that we saw earlier with Abraham in Gerar. Keep in mind that the name Abimelech is not really a name. It's a dynastic title, like Pharaoh. So you could have Pharaoh, the son of Pharaoh, right? You can also have Abimelech, son of Abimelech, because Abimelech means my father is the king. That's what Abimelech means. And so if my father is the king, then the son could also be called Abimelech, right? However, some commentators, and I'll just throw this out there for your interest, have said that although this narrative is about 80 years removed from the Abrahamic narrative in Gerar, this could still be the same Abimelech, because remember, Abraham and others lived past 150 years of age in those days. And this might also explain why Abimelech did not simply receive Rebekah into his household, but that she lived apart with her brother slash husband, because he is now of advanced age and would not have been as forward to bring her into his own household. So whether it is the same Abimelech or not, it's very difficult to ascertain with any certainty. But there are certain circumstances that perhaps would point us in a way that it is the same Abimelech. But it has been 80 years since Abraham came through. Notice, however, that those 80 years have not slacked with regard to the understanding of the Philistines and the men of Gerar, the people of Gerar, with regard to the seventh commandment, although not known to them as the seventh commandment. One might lightly have lied with thy wife, and then it would have brought judgment upon us. In other words, there is a God in heaven who punishes adultery. Right? They understood that, even in those days. So then, Isaac was reproved of Abimelech, recognized to be the husband of Rebekah, and she his wife, and so then he was given a plot of land. Now notice that there are some differences in the narrative. There is no prayer. There is no intercession on behalf of Isaac, although there was with Abraham earlier. So there are some differences in the narrative as well as some similarities, again lending to its veracity. So Isaac sows, and the Lord blesses him with 100-fold. Did you see this? Remember the narrative in John 9 that we said a few moments ago? Who sinned, this man or his father or his parents, that he should be born blind? Okay, has Isaac been behaving himself in such a way that he should be blessed 100-fold here? And yet he is. Because the Lord has a purpose in this. Remember that. Remember that when we are blessed, don't put your thumbs into your lapels and say, oh, it's because I've been so godly. That's not how it happens. Or when you're afflicted, oh, it's because I've been such a wicked sinner. God has purposes beyond our comprehension, beyond the purview of our senses, beyond the purview of our thinking that He is working in blessing or denying us. Keep that in mind. All right, so then, when it came that the Lord blessed him 100-fold and he became so great, notice there were two things. First of all, they envied him, And second of all, they were afraid of him. Both are true. So they envied him and they were afraid of him. And so they began then to fight with him. The Philistines stopped up the wells that Abraham had digged. So then Isaac removes from the city of Gerar and moves to the country. And he moves into the valley of Gerar, which was outside of the city. And there he digs a well. He is unstopping those wells that the Philistines had stopped up. And again, we ought to see solidarity with his father Abraham. He is digging the wells that Abraham dug. The Philistines have stopped them up, and he's digging them back up. Yes, there is, and some of the Puritans have gone a long way in understanding that metaphorically, right? What is a well? A well is a life-giving thing, isn't it, in that desert land. And so the water of life is something that comes through what? Well, through the special revelation that Abraham received. And then Isaac received, right? And so the water there becomes, for many preachers of old, a metaphor of the preaching of Christ, and how that the Philistines sought to stop that up, but Isaac digged that back up. So those are interesting and wonderful metaphorical uses of such a passage as this. So then Isaac digs up one well and they're striving with him. So he names it Esek. He digs up another. They continue their striving. He names it Sitna. So striving and hatred. That's what those mean. And then the third, after he leaves that place and goes far from them and digs another well, they don't strive with him. They give him room. And so he names it Rehoboth, or room. The Lord has given us a place here. But then notice that even after that, he went up from there, following in the steps of his father Abraham, and went to Be'er Sheva. Sheva means oath. Be'er means the well. And so he goes back to that place where Abraham had met with Abimelech before and Phicol. He'd met with them before, and they made that oath. And remember, there were the seven ewe lambs, and Abraham said, "These are in testimony that I have digged this well." And they made the oath that they would not strive with one another, that they would not do each other harm. So that is where Isaac goes. And so he's driven back to the faith of his father. He's driven back to the commitments of his father. He's driven back to those religious understandings of his father. The Lord, even after this time in Gerar, drives him and drives him and drives him back to that place that he could call, in a sense, home. The place that his father Abraham had settled, into the well of the oath. And notice, in covenantal fashion then, Abimelech and Phicol and a new man, a man that we had not met before, Azuzat, they all meet together there in Be'er Sheva, and there is another oath cut. And it is the same kind of oath that was in the days of Abraham, between Abimelech and Abraham. So, once again, Isaac walking in the faith of his father, digging up his wells, taking the same kinds of oaths. And so we are to see that Moses has ordered this narrative in such a way that we would see that since the death of Abraham, the covenant has not failed. It is still alive. It is still alive in Isaac because the promises of God are inviolable. Then the chapter ends it ends on a low note, doesn't it? Esau. Esau takes himself a couple of wives. One from the Hittites, and another, I'm sorry, they're both Hittites. He takes himself two Hittite wives, and notice that they were a grief of mind. A grief of mind to Isaac and to Rebekah, that Esau would take idolatrous wives. Well, you know how we feel about that around here. We've spoken on that at large on several occasions. So, rather than go down that road, I think we will have a little bit on that this afternoon in the afternoon sermon, Lord willing. Thus ends the reading then of Genesis chapter 26.